Are you ready?
Massacre.
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 Don't you love it?
Welcome in, have a seat. It's Massacre Radio on this episode number 38, it says here on my dossier. Yeah, that's right, I have a dossier. Anyway, I, of course, am your host, Members Only Dave, and today we have yet another great show planned for you, as a little bit later on, I'll be joined by Greg Kerouac. He was the actor that portrayed Sergeant Connor in the shot-on-video classic 555. You know, back in my VHS collecting days, 555 was seen, and still is seen, as somewhat of a holy grail, so to speak. It was one of those elusive tapes that everyone seemed to want. I'll have to ask Greg if he has an original copy and all that. Hey, maybe he'll even sell it to me. Anyway, all that and more still to come. Stay tuned. It's Massacre Radio, baby. Come on!
You're listening to Massacre Radio.
I'm a busy guy. Between work, my kids, and my wife, there never seems to be time for it all. That's why it's important for me to maximize my free time and get a little R&R. It ain't easy getting peace and quiet around old Chatty Cathy over here. Did you say something, honey? You must be hearing things, sweetheart. Anyway, I learned this new technique earlier this week. Here, let me show you. You're really gonna like this. Now, it took me a while, but with a little practice, I managed to finally get my head up my ass. It doesn't even really stink all that bad in here. Not to mention, time seems to slow down when I'm in here, like everything around me just stops almost. And that's a good thing, because then I can catch up on my favorite radio programs without it eating into my actual day.
You know,
awesome. Just in time, too. You know, my wife always told me I can go and shove my head up my ass, and now that I've actually done it, I wish I'd figured out how to do it long ago. Anyway, I better get back out there. She's probably getting worried about me.
Whew, fresh air.
Yeah, I know. You should...
Did you... You did.
Hang on.
Shh, babe. Did you hear that?
I don't hear anything.
It sounds like someone's listening to the radio.
No more for a while.
And then Massacre Radio.
Super low-budget six-day shoot.
Members Only Dave on Massacre Radio.
You don't want to fuck with this guy.
Only on WKMA Cleveland, an HD2 station.
Yeah, that's right. You're dialed into Cleveland's hottest radio program, Massacre Radio, on WKMA Cleveland, an HD2 station. And wouldn't you know it, joining me now, courtesy of the Massacre Radio hotline, which you too can call at 440-941-8585. It's Greg Kerouac, who portrayed Sergeant Connor in the shot-on-video classic 555. Hey, how about that? Greg, it's an honor to speak with you today. Thank you for your time. How you doing, man?
I'm doing just fine. This is a very interesting occasion for me.
All right, Greg, so what do you say we get into it? So what exactly have you been up to in all these years since shooting 555? Anything of note by chance?
Oh, my goodness. I've had pretty much my whole life since then. I did more acting a little while after I did 555, but not much, really. I think the last thing I did was a tour of Taming of the Shrew in the state of South Carolina. And then after that, I've just been working, having a family, had a child very late in life, who's kind of the love of my life. And that's where I'm at now. I'm 64 years old, and I got a 16-year-old kid.
By the way, before I forget, I wanted to ask you, how old were you when you were shooting the film?
Let's see, that was not quite 30.
Not quite 30. How about that? Okay, so our crack research department here at Massacre Radio gave me this note, and I'm reading it as written. It says here, prior to appearing in 555, you were in fact a stage actor, and that 555 was your only movie role. My question here, Greg, is, was acting in movies something that you had always aspired to do, or was it something you sort of fell into?
It was something I always aspired to do. Film has been a love of mine since I was 11, and I saw my first kind of adult film, which wasn't not adult in the sense that some people think of it, but not Mary Poppins, you know?
Talk about the process of being cast as Sergeant Connor. I know so often of the time people audition for certain roles but end up getting another. Was that the case here?
I was looked at for Sergeant O'Connor right from the beginning because I was kind of older looking for my age. The guy that actually played my partner was several years older than me, but kind of looked younger. But I had a receding hairline, kind of a grizzly face, and gaunt, tall, thin, gaunt looking. So I was always looked at for Sergeant O'Connor. And it was a very typical audition. We auditioned in the garage, which is eventually where we shot the film. And, you know, there was not a super big crowd for at the audition, but you know, there are a lot of people there, a lot of people interested in doing it, just because I guess they look at it kind of like, you know, Jack Nicholson doing a Roger Corman film in his early days. They were terrible films, kind of very low budget films, but it's nice they have something on film.
Now, of course, this movie was made long before the days of the internet, so my question here, Greg, is how did you find out about the role of Sergeant Connor in the film 555? Were you friends with anybody involved with the production of the film, like Wally Cause by chance, or did you see a posting of it somewhere on a bulletin board? What was that process like?
There were several audition boards that I always kept abreast of, and it was on one of those.
Now, I mentioned Wally Cause, the director of the film, so I have to ask you, it says here it was his first and only movie he directed, and I think he was, like, you know, in his 40s at the time, age-wise. Based on what you remember, talk about his approach to directing on set and some of the things that he did leading up to shooting each scene to make the actors comfortable or what have you.
He was very, for being inexperienced, he's a very in-charge kind of director. And you, he basically, by force of personality, just kind of compelled you to give him what his vision was, give him what he wanted. And it was very interesting that way. His brother, too, for a first-timer, I thought wrote a very good script. I was always very picky about scripts, and I worked with the Playwright Center in Chicago developing new scripts all the time. So I've seen a lot of scripts, brand new scripts by first-time writers. And I thought both the script and the director for this were kind of large and in charge, you know? They didn't act like they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't act like it was the first time.
You know, for being a shot-on-video flick, Greg, 555 is actually pretty good, I thought, and your performance in particular was more than solid, and you certainly held your own and brought a sense of professionalism to the screen. My question here, Greg, is, was that a case of you being a leader, so to speak, where you set the tone and the bar for the other actors to match because of your previous acting background, or was everyone pretty much on the same page in that regard?
No, that I was kind of the most experienced actor on the set. There's no doubt about that. I'd done more than 50 stage plays at that time, and most of the other people were kind of very early on. I think some of them was their first thing that they'd ever auditioned for. But yeah, they kind of took their lead a little bit from me, and that was kind of an honor. It was nice to be treated that way. You don't always get treated that way in the theater.
Greg Kerouac is my guest today on Massacre Radio. He portrayed Sergeant Connor in the shot-on-video classic 555. Okay, so the film is more or less a detective police drama, more so than a straightforward horror flick. How was the film pitched to you, Greg, before you started working on it? Was it described more as a horror film or a detective drama or what?
It was very much described as a detective drama, and it was kind of almost a police procedural is the way it was described. Not that they really used those words back then, but that's kind of the way it was described. I thought of it as a very straightforward detective film.
Okay, so with it being pitched as a police procedural type film, did the idea of blood and extreme gore that was included turn you off or give you any pause when you were considering the project and how successful it could be?
No, that didn't bother me at all. Like I say, many of us thought of it like a Roger Corman film, you know? So there would be cheesy special effects. There could be anything in a Roger Corman film. He just worked with a low budget, and you just kind of took it as it came. There was very little that could shock me back in those days. There's probably more that can shock me these days than back then when I was like, consider myself a hip young actor and that kind of thing on the scene and all that. So no, I took it in stride. I think everybody took it in stride.
Now, you had mentioned in the years since wrapping production of the film, you've had a child who is about 16 years old now. Have they seen the movie by chance? I mean, are they even interested? What's their take on this whole thing?
I don't think he's seen the film yet. He knows about it, and he's seen stills from it and that kind of stuff. And he has a generational treasures box, a generational family treasures box that has stuff from his grandfather and his, you know, his grandmothers and all these different people. And in there is the original VHS copy of 555. That's one of his treasures.
An original copy of 555. That sounds like quite the treasure. Now, I want to get back to that in just a second, but I also wanted to ask you about one of your co-stars in the film, Susan Rather. You know, one of the more memorable scenes is where she calls you a, and I'm quoting this from the movie here, a Irish c***er. Now, what do you remember most about working with Susan Rather on the film?
She was kind and eager to learn and brassy, and she was very much like her character. She was not a very experienced actor, but she just dove in. Just like everybody did in that. We didn't treat it like it was low budget or anything like that. We figured, you know, we're going to make the best thing that we can make. And we worked really hard on the set while the directors and stuff was, and prop people were setting up. We would be running our lines and trying to get better. And she was in the forefront of all that. She was there eager to, you know, help everybody out with their lines and do her lines and that kind of thing, rehearse.
And that all goes back to what I had mentioned earlier, Greg, is that's what makes 555 stand out amongst other shot-on-video flicks from the time, is that the acting is pretty good all around, yourself included, you know? I wanted to ask you, did they by chance give you and the other actors any latitude to change lines here or there or improvise where you see fit or let you guys make any creative suggestions of any kind by chance?
No, not really. We were very committed to that script. In other situations, in other circumstances I've been in, people did felt like at the Playwright Center where I was talking about, you felt like you should say, you know, this is really an awkward line here. Could we do something a little different with it? But really, this script just was smooth and flowed, and we really just tried to learn our lines the best we could. Any mistakes, any deviation from the script was our mistakes rather than trying to improvise. It was just because we didn't have that much rehearsal time. Mm-hmm. It was whatever we could grab.
So after completing the production of the film and finishing the project, what was your biggest takeaway, Greg, from everything that transpired on the set? And what were your thoughts as to how the film might turn out?
Truthfully, I left the set and essentially never looked back. I did not see the film until probably 25 years later. For the first time, I was working at Texas Parks and Wildlife at the time, and I mentioned the film to somebody, and I don't know why, a friend of mine there, and I don't know why it engaged him so much, but he started researching the film and found a copy of it and staged a first night for me where he invited a bunch of the people from Texas Parks and Wildlife, and we screened the film, and that was the first time I had ever seen it.
Wow, 25 years later, that is pretty wild. You know, you mentioned earlier about the sets being built in a garage, you know, specifically the scenes in the detective's office, you know, or whatever. Were most of the scenes that didn't take place outside shot in that garage, or were there other locations?
Everything was in the garage. As far as I know, it was split into two things. There was a couple scenes and the murder scenes and that kind of stuff. And then there was basically dialogue scenes and the police procedural type scenes. And we were not on set for any of the other stuff except for our stuff. Because the people were doing kind of nudity and the set was private, very private then, the least number of people on there at a time. So all of our interior stuff was shot in the garage in that one office scene. And then we did a few exterior scenes, so which were just basically nearby in the neighborhood kind of things, where we'd be in our car, staking out, that kind of thing.
Well, I guess that answers my next question about whether or not you were present during any of those kill scenes or the sex scenes or what have you, but we're going to take a brief time out here on Massacre Radio and be back with more from my guest, Greg Kerouac, after this.
You've seen it on VHS. You've seen it on DVD. But no matter what you've seen, you ain't seen nothing like this.
I found the body.
For the very first time, watch 555 on the all-new Blu-ray. Shot in blood red video for your viewing pleasure.
Just the thought of that makes me sick.
Don't get caught fooling around. Get your copy now. Warning, may cause damage to your brain cells.
Criminals are stupid fuckers.
All new from Massacre Video.
Viniendo después, Massacre Radio. Los ingredientes para un matrimonio sin amor. Puede ser más barato de lo que piensas. Aquí mismo en WKMA Cleveland. Una estación a HD2.
You're listening to Massacre Radio on WKMA Cleveland and HD2 Station. My guest today is Greg Kerouac from the movie 555. He, of course, portrays Sergeant Connor. Do you remember any specific hardships or problems that came up during any of those scenes that you were a part of or that you can remember or share with us?
Nothing serious. Wally Cause and I occasionally would, butt heads. But like I say, he was very in charge, and it wasn't a kind of disrespectful thing. It was just trying to give him what he wanted and trying to communicate better, that kind of thing. The only other thing I remember is one time I was sitting there on the desk in a scene, and I'm looking around at the props and everything on the desk around me, and I go, this is not right. We had the props set up for one scene, but we were doing a different scene. So there's a huge continuity problem waiting to happen, waiting to be shot. And I said something about that, and we shuffled everything around, and everything was back on track. But that only happened once. This is really, like I say, pretty smooth shooting all in all.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure Wally was hyper-focused on finishing 555 and making it all that he could, but during the downtime and in-between scenes or anything like that, did he mention any future projects he was rolling around ideas for by chance?
No, we didn't approach that subject at all.
Did you by chance keep any of the props or wardrobe that were used in the film by chance? You know, like that suit I just asked you about, or maybe the knife the killer used, or anything like that at all?
Nope, not a thing.
You know, you kind of touched on it earlier, Greg, about how you shot the film and never looked back, and then you had a screening for it some 25-odd years later. But how about these days? What is your friend and family reaction to the film? Is it overall a positive reaction, or are they kind of lukewarm, to say the least, on the whole thing?
Well, I sent a copy around to my brothers and sisters, and they passed it around. They didn't have a whole lot to say about it. It was more a novelty, probably not their cup of tea exactly, but... you know, they passed it around and mailed it back and forth. A couple DVDs I sent around, and they all watched it. Not a lot of comment about it, just that I did it. You know, weird brother Greg does something else.
You know, Greg, I love the scene where you're wearing the turquoise suit merely for the simple fact that I think it looks cool. Was that suit from your own personal closet?
No, there were times during my acting career that I kept a couple of the suits that I worked on, but that was supplied by Wally's wife. She did the costuming for it, and she picked that one out for me, and I always thought it was hysterical. I love that suit. It was so Sergeant Connor.
And along those same lines, Greg, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the infamous Pontiac Fiero featured in the film. Was that your car by chance, or whose was it? What can you tell the good folks listening to this fine radio program around the globe about the Pontiac Fiero?
I can't really tell you a thing about that. I didn't even know what kind of a car it was until you told me. I was focused on my stuff and whatever they put me in and whatever clothes they put me in and whatever car they put me in and whatever park they put me in. I was good to go. I was trying to remember my lines and try to be as good as I could be.
You know, it's also my understanding that some fans of 555 reached out to you asking to obtain your original copy of the film on VHS, of course. What can you tell us about that exchange, and did you eventually give in and sell it to them?
I did not. My son would not let me.
Oh, so you did consider it, but you were eventually talked out of it, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I actually probably would have sold it because, you know, money's always been elusive for me. So, you know, I probably would have sold it, but he just wouldn't have anything of it. It was going in the treasures box. There was no doubt about that. But I did have somebody just call me up out of the blue this year. This year there's been more attention from this film than any other year in my whole life. By far, there was basically none the rest of my life, except for, you know, the guy that staged the screening at Texas Parks and Wildlife. But somebody just called me up out of the blue, and we negotiated for a while and got up to a point of he was willing to go up to $200 for the VHS, and we finally just couldn't agree on it. And Lewis at Massacre Video told me that they have gone for $1,000. Now, I don't know if that's asking price or they actually got the $1,000. So I guess I was kind of glad I didn't sell it after that.
Yeah, actually, I had heard something similar, that a copy does go for around that price, especially if it's a mint condition original, which I'm assuming your copy is, Greg.
No, mine is not. I'd never got a copy from the original time. Like I say, when I left the set of 555, I basically never looked back. The guy at Texas Parks and Wildlife who did the screening, no, my wife, actually finally tracked down a copy of it through a video service. So I've got a beat up used copy.
Yeah, it seems like so many of the copies are beat up these days. As a matter of fact, now that I think about it, I don't think I've ever seen a pristine or like new copy of 555 on VHS. So it's interesting that they are all former rentals or beat up to a degree, you know?
It is weird because there has to be a few boxes of them sitting around, or had to have been at one point, a few boxes sitting around unopened. But I don't know what would have happened to those.
So after all these years have passed and people still ask you about the film, Greg, what does that mean to you that not only is the film something that is still culturally significant, but as we touched on earlier, the original release is so sought after? What are your thoughts on that?
I'm frankly shocked. I never thought it would have surfaced in the way that it has. And I'm proud. I'm proud of it. It's like I did a lot of work that I was proud of. But this one kind of did catch people's imagination, has become something of a little cult, has developed something of a little cult following kind of thing. So I'm tickled with it. I'm glad we worked as hard as we did on it. I don't know. I don't really know how good we were in it or anything like that. But, I'm glad we at least put our best foot forward. And I still feel that way about it.
Now, this question might seem out of left field here, Greg, but I am dying to ask simply because I want to know. What can you tell me about Frankie Hollywood Rodriguez, the person who made the music for the film? Did you have any encounters with them or anything you can tell us about Hollywood Rodriguez?
There is absolutely nothing I can tell you about that. That was production end, and I just don't know anything about it.
Like I said, I knew that was a silly question, but I had to ask because with a name like Frankie Hollywood Rodriguez, how could I not ask? You know, maybe you had some insight that we didn't know about. But anyway, before we get you out of here, it's also my understanding that you will, in fact, be in attendance as Massacre Video is trying to put together some screenings of 555. What can the fans expect if they show up to one of these screenings? Anything special in mind by chance?
I've only heard Lewis allude to that one time, so I don't know what he has planned, but I would consider that fun. I would just be interested in seeing what people had to say. I imagine there'd be some detractors, but mostly people who would just, you know, feel about it the way you're supposed to feel about something like that. Like it's a fluky thing. It's done from a point of, I don't know, love and respect and for film and for the medium. So I hope most people will come and we can discuss that aspect of it.
Greg Kerouac has been my guest today on Massacre Radio. Hey, thanks again for your time today, Greg, and we look forward to seeing you at a screening of 555, man. That's going to be great.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Massacre Radio.
Well, would you look at that? Another episode of Massacre Radio is in the books. Be sure to keep your eyes peeled for the details on that 555 screening Greg and I were speaking about. That's sure to be happening a lot sooner than you may think. And also, the 555 Blu-ray. I thought the DVD looked good, but I hear the Blu-ray is even better. So that's also something to look forward to. Anyway, I gotta get out of here and watch the Cavs game. Hey, Cavs in 6 over the Celtics. What do you say? You heard it here first. As always, I'm Members Only Dave, and I'll talk at you next week. Hey.